Where were you on this day? What is this day? Does everyone remember what happened 20 years ago on this day? Well, yeah. I remember exactly where I was. I was at work, running around, having my normal coffee. We had a big cafeteria. I went into the cafeteria, and there was TVs all over the cafeteria with CNBC on. And there was this plane, and they were reporting this little plane crashed. It was originally a propeller plane crashing to the World Trade Center. And while watching, I saw on television live the second hitting, and that sent shockwaves through all of it. And it was a time of sadness and fear came over everyone. I was working with this one person who was in charge of me, and she looked identical to Cruella de Vil, and she yelled at us to get back to work. So that's my memory of this day. We all know what happened. I don't need to go over the statistics, but you know, almost 3,000 people died. Hundreds of firefighters died. It was a tragic event. And if you read the stories, you can't help but to be overwhelmed. At that time, what was one thing that no one said? Not a single person on the national television said, this is the work of Satan. But it was. You see, I'm not talking about the World Trade Center attack this day. When I say on this day, it's not referring to that. Today is 9/11, but the title of this message today is called On This Day. See, I'm talking about the future. Right now, in the future, we are in between, as the opening prayer stated, in between trumpets and atonement. What does this day look like? It is an exciting time, but a time of sadness, but we know the future and what it holds. See, Satan is gasping for air at this time. He knows his reign of terror is coming to an end. We are spirit at this time because we made it, God willing. And, well, everyone on this call today has family. Will their family be spirit beings? Some yes, some no. Mostly no, because our family is of the world. But are you prepared to see this day unfold? Is there a Sabbath rest in between these days? Today, I would like to talk about three discoveries to take place on this day. The first discovery is Satan exists. And if he does exist, so does God. See, light shines and fear is exposed. Most of the world does not know their Bible. Most of the world is not Christian. But they know the main point. Most everyone on this earth knows that there's good and evil. They know that there is a God. They know that there is a Satan. They just don't think about it. And if they see Christ returning with the saints to do battle, well, maybe they'll think that Satan is evil. But the world is blind right now and in darkness. Please turn with me to Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Excuse me, Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19:11. Christ on a white horse is the title that I have in my Bible. And Revelation 19:11 states, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And In righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. On this day, the world is going to war. Satan is projecting his darkness over the world for the last time before the millennium. So if darkness is shown, light will dominate. On this day, the world will fear Jesus the Christ, some of them, and will see light overpowering darkness. Now, the concept of the world going to war against Christ means that they are blind and completely covered in darkness. We here in the Watts household had a discussion about why spiritual light and darkness, why the analogy of light and dark. Well, I just would like to give a few examples of it from the scriptural standpoint. The Bible often uses the contrast between light and darkness to make a point. In creating the physical universe, we know that God made light and divided it from darkness. And metaphorically speaking, not following God is described as walking in darkness instead of light. Later, Jesus actually did say the light of the world. He was the light of the world. If you would please turn over to John 8, verse 12. John 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 8, and we'll pick it up in verse 12. John 8, verse 12. And mine, the title kind of takes the whole point. I am the light of the world. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Apostle Paul employed this same light and darkness concept when he wrote that people are blinded by Satan. And you can find that in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. We won't turn there. But 2 Corinthians 4, 4, he used it in explaining the ministry before King Agrippa, saying that he had been called by Jesus to open people's eyes. Matter of fact, just turn back a few pages to Acts 26. Acts 26. Acts 26, and we'll pick it up in verse 18. In verse 18, I'll pick it up in 17. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I know I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Very clear. Again, light and dark, God and Satan. So Satan wants to keep us in the dark, and he will do anything to achieve his goal. That is a battle we face right now. That is our calling right now. We are to stay in the light so we can see the future. And we can see the 9/11 of the future. And that's referring to this day and time in the future, in between the two plans, the plan of trumpets, Christ's return, and the plan of atonement. So point number two. On this day, the world will see Satan. It will see Satan for what he is, a liar from the beginning and a father of lies. Satan convinced mankind that he should and could deceive and could decide for himself good and evil. What a deception. The author of darkness and death posed as an angel of light and sold the most fatal lie anyone has ever bought. God said, "In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Satan, in effect, said, "God knows better. He's been lying to you." Through the ages, Satan and his agents have designed various systems to disguise the same old package of death. On this day, do you think soldiers will question what they are doing? Will they start to see the light or start to understand Satan is a liar and a murderer? If they did, would they stop fighting? I believe at that time, the broadcast from Satan, the prince of the power of the air, will be so powerful that the world will be drunk with hatred and anger as they go against Christ and the saints. See, Satan is a liar. The word liar is only found in about a dozen places in the Bible. It varies slightly among various translations. But if we can, please turn over to John 8, verse 44. Back a few pages to John 8, verse 44. John 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it. Here Jesus said that Satan does not stand into the truth. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus was there when Satan fell. He saw Satan fall. The first recorded lie we know in the Bible was with Satan talking to Eve. But even Satan convinced a third of the angels to go with him. Probably he lied to the angels. See, he is the father of lies, but he is also the king of half-truths. I know that one of the kids purchased a book, and reading the book, it had a Bible scripture in the book. And it said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son and unicorns. So it makes it sound like there was unicorns in the Bible days. Now, we all know that's silly, but that's a half-truth. The first part of the truth is God the Father, which is beautiful. The second half, unicorns, is a lie. But that's simple, and I know that's innocent, but the world is filled with half-truths. See, the serpent, Satan, deceived Eve by his craftiness. How many times have we heard messages that explain things and then don't overthink it is what we tell ourselves. Christ's feet touched the Mount of Olives. Well, that's true. The world says, oh, Christ is spiritual. He has no feet. The Bible is very simple. Christ's feet touched the Mount of Olives. What about Passover? Well, what is Passover? Well, the angel passed over. Very simple. The millennium, it does not exist. it's 1,000 years is in the Bible, but the word millennium's not. Well, it's 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a millennium. Very simple concepts in the Bible to follow. But Satan takes all of this and deceives with it. And at that, on this day in the future, he will use it, whatever he can, to deceive everyone. Though invisible, Satan, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, deceives the whole world right now. He is the prince of the power of the air and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The whole world lies under the sway of this wicked one. You can read that in 1 John 5, verse 19. But Satan is not just a liar. As we read in John 8, 44, he is also a murderer. The result of Satan's lie to Eve was that she and Adam would die instead of live forever with God, which was symbolized by accessing the tree of life. This result was not accidental. It was what Satan intended. We come to this understanding of Satan's motive when we ponder Jesus' declaration that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. And we just read that in John 8, 44. Murder, of course, breaks yet another of God's commandments. And again, the simplicity of God's commandments. They're very straightforward. We see the mindset of this evil spirit being. He will break rules, tell lies, do whatever he deems necessary to deceive and to kill all humans. Today, Satan is assisted in his efforts against humanity by demons and false religious teachers. To counter his relentless efforts, we must live by every word of God. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Well, point number three, the final point. Satan wants to destroy you and is not your friend. On this day, a war is going on and dead bodies are everywhere. Jesus the Christ is in the process of ruling with a rod of iron. People will look around, and what will they see on this day in the future? Please turn with me to Revelation 19, verse 17. We'll continue reading in Revelation 19, verse 17. Well, what they'll see is dead bodies. There's a billion people on this earth, a couple billion people, easy. Dead bodies everywhere. We'll pick it up in Revelation 19, verse 17. Mine has the heading, "The Beast and His Armies Defeated." Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, "Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who works signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning into brimstone, with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh." Think about that that sight. That sight is right before atonement. And that is obviously when Christ is returning and when he's here and his armies are battling. That's this day in the future. A wide range of birds. I always thought, what birds? How many birds are there to eat a billion bodies? or bodies in general, just a lot of them. Well, has anyone ever heard of carrion eaters? Carrion eaters is a word in the scientific community as simply birds that eat dead bodies. Humans are a part of them, although most of the time it's described to eat animals. But what type of birds will be there when the dead bodies are laying everywhere? There are vultures, there are buzzards, and there are condors. I have seen both. Well, I live in America and I've never seen a California condor, but I went to Peru and I saw the Andes condor, and it is huge, very big. There are caracaras. I saw those at my house, hundreds of them circling above my house. They were there, and I was wondering if there was a dead body around somewhere. What about eagles, hawks, and other birds of prey? Crows, ravens, large corvids, gulls, skuas, and terns. Depending on the size of the carcass and how many activity is around, omnivorous birds such as jays and pigeons, roadrunners, hoops, may take advantage of the carrion. Even some seabirds, including fulmars, scavenger carrions from the beach carcasses. My point is, look how many birds will join in this feast, the feast of the dead bodies. The question I had when thinking of this day and seeing that sight, how much flesh can a bird eat? One bird, one condor, Andes condor, can eat 15 pounds of flesh in one sitting. That's 6.8 kilograms. Now, how many birds are there? There are millions of these birds, millions. There's enough, they eat enough flesh, and they do this right now. They get so fat off the flesh that they eat, they can't even fly for a while. I would want to know, how do all these people die? Think of this battle. Have you thought of the angels or the saints going against the armies? Do we use swords to kill them? How do they die? But so many people die. Will it be just soldiers? The armies, are they just soldiers? What about those in jail and civilians? Look around us. The civilians, they pick up signs and pick up whatever they can to what they call protest. Will they be there battling against Jesus the Christ also? Well, God will destroy the works of the devil on this day. The Apostle John wrote, and if you can, please turn over to 1 John 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8. First John 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For his purpose, the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy in this passage means to ruin, put out of action, or render inoperative. The destruction of Satan's stronghold has already been guaranteed through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. It was a defeat for Satan in that his activity, his power in some real way, was and is curtailed towards God's people. As Revelation 12:11 says, regarding faithful Christians, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by word of their testimony. Christ's ministry was also an invasion of Satan's realm. Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people, Christ preached the kingdom of God and then demonstrated its power. He told the people of his day that casting out demons was clearly the work of God's kingdom. See, on this day, the world will see that Satan is not their friend, but many die fighting against our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In conclusion, most of us go through life day by day. We rest on Saturday to regain strength taken from the week. I believe it takes a well-rested mind to be able to focus on God's future plan. On this day in the future, Jesus the Christ and the saints, which is us, will be in battle. Trumpets is over, so we believe Christ has returned. Atonement is coming, therefore we know Satan is grasping for air and very dangerous. He will broadcast his darkness with such power. His deception will lead to armies coming against Jesus the Christ. The world will be so fooled. They will fight with and for Satan. They believe he is their friend. All of this will be exposed on this day. We will be with Jesus the Christ to watch the fall of Satan. Jesus was there when Satan fell the first time. We now will be with Jesus when atonement comes. And the angel grabs that serpent of old. This day in the future is going to happen, and only God's chosen people, his children, are there with him. Let us rejuvenate ourselves to make sure we are there on this day.